Well, hello, my friends, and welcome once again. Oh, do I have a message for you today. I pray you'll stay tuned. Let's have a word of prayer before we get underway. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity that you've given me to deliver this message, Lord. Thank you for the word you placed in my heart from your holy book. And Lord, I thank you for those who are listening in. I ask, Lord, that they'd be receptive to everything that's said here, Lord. And Lord, when all is said and done, may they be glad they listened, Lord. And may you be lifted up. And may Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, be glorified. Oh, yes, indeed, and yes, indeed. Now, I call the name of my message today, The Vision. The Vision. I think we've all had visions at one time or other in our lives. Perhaps some of us don't wish to admit that, but I think we have had a vision. If not while we were afoot, but when we were sleeping, a dream is a vision of sorts, right? Okay. Well, anyway, the vision I'm talking about today refers to spiritual things. Refers to God, Jesus. Okay? Now, when last we talked about the book of Revelation, so there's your hint, it's about the book of Revelation, very important book. When last we talked about it, we learned of a place called the final hell. The final hell. It's a place, of course, where the worm dieth not. The worm, of course, is the mind, right? You know who you are. You know why you're there. In other words, your body may be dead. It may have been and died when you were, say, upstairs on the earth, but when you're in the final hell, you're going to suffer. And that's not a nice thought, but nonetheless, that's the way it is. The final hell. The vision is the final hell. But there's another vision which we'll hear about too as well. All right? Now, it's a place, like I said, where the fire is never quenched, where the unsaved and the unbelieving will suffer eternally. The other day I was reading from my website below a picture of a very radical Muslim in which he clearly stated that his God, Allah, would rule the very land that I live in and that all Christians would be killed. All Christians would be killed. Now, I have nothing against folks of different cultures and nationalities living on my land. However, when these folks come pouring in and disturb the peace, the tranquility, and the holiness of my home, then proceed to torture and rape and even kill my kinfolk, then you can be sure of one thing. This old boy has got a burr under his saddle. And by the grace of Almighty God, I am going to hold the fort till there ain't a breath of life left in this here body. No, sir. I hope I make myself clear. I hope I do. Then I saw some pictures of his people. Not God's people, of his people. Some pictures of his people showed, and this doesn't sound nice, but I got to say it, people roasting several Christians over an open fire. Now, that really got to me. I mean, the flint was lit. My soul was in dire torment, and my heart was deeply troubled. Then I called out to God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, with only one word. Why? Why? That's one word completed twice, right? Okay, why? My ears began to ring, my stomach filled with knots, and I prayed to God to answer. It came fast, the answer did, it came fast. He said, he that believeth in me shall suffer much persecution. Well, that doesn't sound too good, but unfortunately it's true. Every word of God is true. We who believe in Christ will suffer much persecution. Then I saw many children. I love the children. I saw many children torn asunder about my feet. My eyes would not cry, for they were cried out, but my soul was drowning. Oh, Lord, if we could but see such a place, I don't mean move in, but see it. Of course, our minds, our hearts would be troubled, our thoughts would be changed. We'd understand how important it is to come to Jesus Christ in faith, believing. You don't want to go there, folks. You don't want to go there. But instead, God has given us, by way of His Word, the Holy Bible, a first-hand account of the perils of hell. The perils of hell. If you haven't been listening to my preceding messages, I had one called the Final Hell, and then several others on hell. If you listen to them, you'll get more information. But I would encourage you to check my website, tillhecomes.net, battle site for Christ. My friends, the point I wish to stress here, before I go any further, is that when it comes to heaven and hell, the only real information that we get concerning hell is through the people who really don't believe in it. They think, well, it may actually exist. Yet they only use the term in their language, in their dialogue, as often as they do to accentuate themselves when they're trying to make a point. Did you ever try going to school? I mean, the language is not that difficult. You can say, I hate someone without saying, I hope you die in hell. Oh, come on now. I mean, how can you say, I hope you die in hell when you don't believe in hell? Oh, the dynamic trio. The beast, the false prophet, and the devil. That's what awaits you in an eternal hell. Oh, they want you to hang out a shingle advertising for them. Hey, the devil lives here. Hey, the false prophet lives here. Hey, I'm a beast. Well, the only beast I know was a wrestler, and I don't want to talk about him. However, you know, it's sad to say, it's really sad to say that such is not the case. In fact, the last I heard about hell, well, it had been enlarged. Now, why would God enlarge hell? Because there's more and more people He knows are going there. And He wants to give them plenty of room. Not plenty of comfort, but plenty of room. In the book of Revelation given unto John, God allows John a vision. And I, for one, am glad He did. The vision is reference to the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. Or, as I heard one man say, no more hell bent for rent. Oh, he wasn't paying rent. No, when you go to the New Jerusalem, when you are saved and you go up to be with the Lord, there ain't no rent. There ain't no rent to pay. Our sign may say, paid in full. And you know where it was paid in full? At the cross. At the cross. When Jesus suffered and died, bled on that cross, that's when our rent, if there was any rent that we should have to pay in heaven, was paid in full. Right there. Paid in full. You can just write that across your forehead. Paid in full. Now, John allowed us to see up front and close. Whew. The New Jerusalem, both inside and out, as you may imagine, well, it's next to impossible to fully grasp. Yes, it is. Next to impossible. Not only the beauty of such a city, but the immaculate craftsmanship that only the hand of God could master. Contrary to all doubting minds, the New Jerusalem is above and beyond spectacular. You got that? The New Jerusalem, where we, the saved, are going to spend eternity, is above and beyond spectacular. Now, I'd invite you to take the time to open your hearts and minds and read very carefully what is written in Revelation 21 and 22. Read it for yourself, would you please? I have to get this message done in less than 30 minutes, but I got some good reason I'm going to bring your way very soon. So if you want to take a quick read of Revelation 21 and 22, now, when you do, and when you have finished, picture yourselves in the midst of such godly splendor. Godly splendor. The New Jerusalem is God's gift to our faithfulness. Our faithfulness. One city, one Savior, one God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Nothing could be more wonderful. A universe of holiness. A city where evil and sickness can never enter in. Where sin has no residence whatsoever. An eternal haven of rest and peace in the presence of our glorious Savior. A city redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, dear friends, this is the vision that John received. Our eternal city will be real. Oh, yes. And all you've trusted in the precious blood of the Lamb, will be there after the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, when Jesus went home to be with his Father, his mission was twofold. One was to pray for us as our high priest, which he is. And we're going, as we read, in Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able to also, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. By whom? By Jesus Christ. Right? Because of this, we have direct access to God the Father and need none other than the Son to intercede for us. None other than the Son to intercede for us. The first work of Christ was, of course, the cross, right? He went to the cross, suffered and died, shed his blood for sinners like you and me. Now, the second work of Christ, after he rose from the dead, was the preparation. It's called the preparation. Now, being the chief architect, which he is, he would build for us, his saints, the saved, a dream house like no other dream house that is literally out of this world. I mean literally, because, of course, it's heaven. Oh, you may have dreamed about this dream house. You may have given it some thought or heard somebody talking about it. But until you see it, you can never fully appreciate or understand it. Oh, a dream house that is literally out of this world. Its size is tremendous, in the shape of a cube, with each side as the distance from Maine to Florida. Just think of that. One side of the Great Jerusalem is the same distance from Maine to Florida, or from Florida to Maine, whichever you like. Entry into this beautiful paradise is literally through, you're going to love this, pearly gates. You've heard the pearly gates mentioned many times in your lifetime. Oh, those pearly gates will open. Yes, but do you believe in them? Because they are real. They are a part of heaven. Pearly gates which speak to us of suffering and travail. From what I understand, a pearl is a jewel made by a tiny animal. That is a wounded shellfish. That's where pearls come from, right? So if you go fishing for shellfish, you might find a pearl. You never know. But the pros, they seem to know where the pearls are, where they are, which shellfish they're in. So, well, so it is that we enter through the blood, the shed blood, rather, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I can hardly wait. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who agonized on that cruel cross for our iniquities. The streets, of course, and you've probably heard this, are of pure gold. Not 99%, 98%, pure gold, never touched by human hands. Wow! And God's presence is the light thereof. We don't need light bulbs. We don't need a moon or a sun. His presence to us is Himself. God, you see, God is present just as He had been in the Garden of Eden. Now, what are you thinking of about that one? You see, it was God who made the world, right? It was God who made the Garden of Eden, right? God was present there. God was present to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Oh, they might not have seen Him stand before their face, but He was there. He talked to them. And this is when we shall meet Him face to face. Not in the Garden of Eden, but when we go up to the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. Then shall we look upon His face. You know, you can't look upon God's face now. He's too holy. If He were to stand here in front of me, I could not look upon His face. He's too fair. He's too holy. The one who saved us by His grace. By His grace. In the Old Testament, we're told that the face of Moses shone after his encounter with God on the mount. The Apostle Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and his face, Paul's face, shone brighter than the moon, than the moon day sun. Oh, I got to get this straight. You know what I mean. The moon's bright. His face, Paul's face, shone brighter than the noonday sun. Now, that's bright. Oh, that's bright. You can't look at it with your naked eye, and not for too long anyway. Also, in the city of God, the New Jerusalem, there is pure water in the river of life. The river of life? Oh, I mean, you can go down there, you can drink till you're satisfied. You don't have to worry about, you know, the bugs or anything dirtying up the water. No, it's pure. It's pure. It's pure. The river of life, by which are fruit-bearing trees with a continuous supply of nourishment for God's immortal saints. Now, you got to understand, these trees keep reproducing, reproducing, reproducing. They never run out. Never run out. And you don't see any spoils on the ground either. Not in heaven. No, sir. No, sir. It's a continuous supply of nourishment for God's immortal saints. It's us, if we're saved. People sometimes wonder what they will do in heaven. In other words, they're wondering if they might be bored. Well, we shall see servants in heaven. We shall be servants in heaven. So we'll see servants, our brothers and sisters. We'll all be servants in heaven. With something to do for each one of us. We'll have our task to be pleasing unto the Lord. And we'll enjoy our labors. We'll enjoy our work. And incidentally, the pay is out of this world, literally. out of this world. And we shall never tire, never be tired, nor be bored, or sickly, or see death. You know, in chapter 22, verse 4, we read, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." His name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, the complete joy of his holy presence cannot be fully appreciated until we stand before our mighty God in glory on that day which he has appointed. What a day! The song, you know the song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Are you ready? I am. Are you ready for his return? I am. I just want to read you a passage here out of a booklet which my dear pastor, who's now in glory, my pastor when I first got saved in a church way down east, he went home to glory, but he left this booklet with me. It's called Bible Lessons on the Book of Revelation by John R. Rice. Now, I like John R. Rice, and I do believe that he's in glory. Oh, yes. Anyway, it's on page 10, and let's see what it has to say. More and more, you will see chapters 2 and 3 picture the church age, what the church age is about. That's in the Bible, talking about Revelation, the book of Revelation, right? You'll see chapters 2 and 3 picture the church age. It's important to notice the effect of verses 1 to 3 in setting the order of events concerning the second coming of Christ. Wow! These verses evidently picture, you got it, the rapture. Oh, yes, they do. Well, if they did not, then there is not a single reference in the entire book of Revelation to the rapture of the saints. Not a single reference. And that would be, well, almost unthinkable in a book, the theme of which is the revelation of Jesus Christ at his second coming. Wow! The book goes on to say, this passage then clearly indicates that Christ will come into the air, not onto the earth, that's his second coming to the earth, but this is only in the air, and receive his saints out of this world before, now this is important, before the great tribulation. Well, that fits in with 2 Thessalonians 2:7-8, if you wish to read that, which indicates that the Holy Spirit, as long as he abides in this world, in the bodies of the host of Christians, he will prevent the appearance of the man of sin, or Antichrist. In other words, the Antichrist cannot make himself known upon the earth until the saints of God, the saved right now, are taken out at the rapture of the church. Only then can the man of sin, the Antichrist, be made known. Wow. You know, I find that so interesting. And you know, when you tell somebody about these things, about what it's going to be like in glory, when the rapture was most likely happen, I mean, nobody knows the date, the day, or the time, but we do know one thing, and that's from God's Word, that it will happen before the great tribulation, because God's anointed will not go into the great tribulation. The saints of God will be taken out before the great tribulation, and that's indicated in 2 Thessalonians 7 and 8. You know what? I think I'll just take a moment and go there. 2 Thessalonians 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't have this ready, but I have it now. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. Are you ready? Here it comes. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Mm-hmm. Until he, that's the Holy Spirit, be taken out of the way. And then, verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed. The wicked one, which is the Antichrist. Only then will the Antichrist be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When he comes, he will destroy him, of course. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about what the book of Revelation has to say. Oh, yes, indeed. I'm very excited about, you know, my time. You know, people say, well, you know, you're getting kind of long in the tooth. You're getting a little old there, aren't you? And I say, well, you know, really, that doesn't mean a thing to me, because I know now where my future lies. I know whom I have believeth and have receiveth. I know that when I close my eyes in this life, I will open them again in the presence of God Almighty in glory. I know my body will go to the grave until the return of Christ. When he comes in the rapture, and the word of God says, come up hither. And we're all taken out of the grave. Our old bodies, doesn't matter what they look like. If we're saved, if we're a child of the King, if we belong to Christ, we will be raised out of the grave. Our bodies will be changed like onto his glorious body. Now that's saying something. And forever shall we be with him in glory. Now, ain't that something to look forward to? I sure believe it is. And I hope you believe it is too. You know, I'd advise you, I would like for you rather, to check out my website, tillhecomes.net, Battle Site for Christ. There's lots of information on there. And if you want to read my testimony, it can be found under the heading resume. That's where my testimony is, my personal testimony. You will see how I came to know the Lord as my Savior. And there's lots of other information there as well, too. I hope you'll take the time. And I want to thank you for joining me today. I want to thank you. And I ask that you return again someday. And I want to thank Just Jesus Radio, for without them, this message would probably never have gone on the radio. I'm just so blessed in so many ways, and I give it all to Jesus Christ, as they would want me to at the radio station. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless everyone who is under your blessings, of course. Bless them, Lord, abundantly. Watch over them. Keep us safe until thou dost return. All this I ask in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.